I mentioned about this here Tammy that we visited this week, Jason and I. It was a contact, a letter that was sent to the chapel for this here girl that lives up towards Hamburg. And so we had an excellent time with her as we made this contact, not a believer, but very open to talk to, and so the gospel was presented to her, and so we had a good time, and she said that she might come out this Sunday, and so I'm praying that she will. So the contact came through her fiancé, and he had a cousin who has been concerned about him, so that's how we got the letter. So I don't know who that man is. Anyways, for tonight, what I would like to do is turn to the book of Revelation. And as I've mentioned before, I am one who believes in quoting others, because the old saying is still true: if you never quote, you'll never be quoted. And I also am very thankful for different brethren who have given some thoughts to me, particularly Mr. McClurkin, as I read some of his thoughts. And so I'm thankful for some things that I found a little that were new to me as I thought about it. So we're going to begin in Revelation chapter 1, and I suppose that most everyone here understands what the promise is about Revelation. What is it? Yes, okay, and we are blessed, okay? Now let's notice that first blessed that is found in the book, and it's chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So we find that the person is blessed if they do. What's the three things that the verse tells us? One, read. Next, hear. And third, and keep. Okay. Now, it was surprising to me that I found out that there are seven times in the book of Revelation that it says, blessed are ye. And can somebody else give me another one of those blesseds? So I thought to begin with, we'll just look at them, all right? So the next one is chapter 14 and verse 13, and it says that we're blessed if, or those are blessed. Those that die in the Lord, blessed are they that die in the, in the Lord. Read the verse for me, if you will, Tom.
Revelation 14:13, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them.
Yes, okay. And the next one is in chapter 16 and verse 15. And what do we find there? Pardon? I can't hear you. Those are that are watchful, yes, and keepeth his garments. Now, I had a little trouble with this one. I looked up several different commentaries exactly on that, found nothing. They just avoid this verse. But anyways, I don't know if I fully understand that, but it's when the Lord comes that we should be watching for that coming. And, of course, we know that when he does come, that we will be dressed in garments of white. And why, lest he walk naked and they shall see his shame, I'm not sure what exactly that means. Maybe somebody might have a thought on that. But I looked up that and thought about it, but just didn't come up with anything of satisfaction to me. Now, the next one is found in chapter 19 and verse 9. Who are the ones that are blessed? Yes, that's what it says. Read the verse for me, will you, Charlie? Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. Blessed are they who are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, there are two sayings of God.
I'm always thankful for this verse because, you know, sometimes the question is asked if we're going to eat in heaven. And I don't know what other people are going to do, but I am. Because the fact we're going to be able to eat of the tree of life. We're also going to be able to eat at that supper, and that's just going to be the beginning, and I believe we're going to eat again. You can do what you want, but I believe it's going to be offered, and we'll be eating, and it will be all good. And now the next one, too, that we find is chapter 20 and verse 6. And what's the ones that are blessed there? Yes, okay. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. Now, what does that mean? Yeah, right. That is the second death, right? Because it's talking about who's going to be resurrected there. That they'll get the second death. Who is going to get the second death? Pardon? The unbelievers who died, they're going to be raised again, and then they're going to have the second death, which is the lake of fire. But we who are believers, of course, it says, blessed are and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. We're going to be caught up to meet him and never to die again. Okay? And chapter 22 and verse 7. Is who are those that are blessed? Yes, okay. Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Well, I think that's how it starts. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Yes, those who keep the sayings in the midst of this persecution, which this chapter is talking about as well, and they're living in the hope of his coming. And what a great thing. And then we have chapter 22 and verse 14. Who are the blessed there? That keep his commandments. And what can they do, Tom? Good. They have the right that they may have right to the tree of life. Now, I felt that was quite interesting. I never knew that before, that there were seven blesseds just in the book. And so I found that interesting and I wanted to share that with you. Now I want to go back to Revelation chapter 1 again, if you will to me, and we'll start with verse 12. I'm going to ask Dan if you'll read. My voice is gone on me a little bit. I'm having troubles. Read from verse 12 through 17, real loud, Dan. Stand up, I think, for them so they can hear you good.
Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shineth in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last.
Thanks, Dan. Okay. Now, as we read this portion, there are just four elements in nature that are referred to here that gives us the character of the Lord and His worth. What is the first element that we see of nature? What's that?
Snow.
Good. All right. What is the second one? Fire. Thank you. What's the third one? Water. And the fourth one is the sun. Very good. Okay. Those are the four elements that depict his character and his worth. Now, we notice that the snow that his head and his hairs are a snow. What would that tell you about the Lord? This is a little Bible study for you to think, okay? What would it tell you about the Lord? That he's what?
Pure.
Pure, thanks. That's one thing it would tell you. What's another thing? As you think about the snow, what do you think about in the Word of God that would make you think of? What's that, Annette? I didn't hear you. Oh, I didn't hear you. Go ahead there. Go ahead, Tom.
Though your sin be as scarlet, they
shall be white as snow. Well, that's a good verse, too. But, I mean, I was thinking more or less on depicting him for purity. What's another thing? Anybody? Well, I thought the first thing about this is I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. I want you to read with me verse 22 and 23. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? And as I thought about the fact that his character is as snow, I mean, he's got all kinds of treasures, you know, that he hands out, you know, and that's good. One of the things, too, that's very interesting, too, that next verse goes along and says how that God even has used the snow in battle. There's many a man that can tell you down in life how that it was true that because of the snow or of the hail that they won that battle, or they didn't have to face the enemy in that battle. And so his hair in his head is like snow. So I thought of that verse because the fact he brings that out. There's also that verse in Psalms 148 and verse 8, I think it is, that he brings. I better look that up again. Psalms 148, I think it is. These are verses that came to my mind. Psalms 148 and verse 8, where it says, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. So oftentimes the snow is something that he uses in his character, that he uses to fulfill his word. So there's the snow. Then the next one is the fire, as you mentioned. And his eyes are as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. Now, what would that speak to us about when we stop to think about him as fire character? What would that speak to you about? I can't hear you.
Purity.
purify. So if you're purifying something, it's you're making it holy, right? So the holiness of God, because that's the fire is going to take care of that. The verse that came to my mind as I thought about that was 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 12 through 16. Clint, would you read that? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 12 through 16. And his eyes see all. Yes, his eyes see all of our works, and it's going to be tried by fire. I think, too, as we stop to think about his character in that respect, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29, it says, our God is a consuming fire. So the fire I would would suggest or speak of the holiness of God. All right, the next one that we find is the water, and what would that speak to you about? About God's character. Like, for instance, go ahead, Karen. Yeah, so what does he have there? Pardon? Power. Listen, when I think of water, I think of the power of God. Just going to Niagara Falls, you see that water coming over the falls, and it really is powerful when it comes. And the water, which is oftentimes referred to as also as the Word of God, what does it do? Pardon? Refreshes. What else does it do? Cleanses, right, as we have, that the water is that which cleanses as well. Now, the prophets and the teachers that came before the Lord Jesus, they were just little streams or little drops of water. But when he came, he spoke with power. And I think that's remarkable. I was doing lessons on the Noah. And I came across a portion of Scripture in Psalms 104, and I would like you to turn there to me. Keep your finger in Revelation. Psalms 104, which again is a great thing to note about water. Psalms 104, and starting with verse 6. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. In fact, we know from other portions that the waters were 15 cubits higher than the highest mountain. And then it goes on to say this, verse 7, at thy rebuke they fled, at the voice of thy thunder. They hastened away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys, unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound, that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. Now, with that thought in mind, as you see how it says that his voice, thundered, and they hastened away. Now go over with me, if you will, to Psalm 29. Psalm 29. And we have that verse. I'll start with verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. I like that verse too in Psalms 37 in verse 5 where it says, God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he that we know not, which we cannot comprehend. Yes, God thunders with his voice. And so when you stop to think about the water, you think about the power of God. And then too, as we sang, or as we said rather, it cleanses. Look at that verse in Ephesians chapter, Ephesians chapter 5, I think it is. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Yeah, that's the verse. Verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. And so also we find that the water speaks of the cleansing power as well. Now, the last element was the sun. What would you say is that characterizes about the character of the Lord? It's did you say light or life or? Yeah, light, okay. He's the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, because of your interest, okay, what would you say about the sun, Jim? Yes, it's a source of life, okay. But when you're looking in the skies, Jim, what about the sun? What's that, Charlie?
The brightest.
It's the brightest. Now, that's a good thing, too, about his character, that he is the brightest. But what's the other amazing, well, not, it's not amazing, it's a fact. The fact about the sun.
God is light, and there is no darkness
at all. That's good, okay. That's very good, okay, you're thinking. But also, what about the sun? I'll never forget Peggy. When she was working at the Blaisdell Lumber, there was a guy that gave her a little tough time, you know, and she was there behind, and she said to him, you wouldn't think she had this kind of spunk, but she said, if you would just stand still for a moment, you would find, do you remember the rest? Well, I never forgot it. You would find that the world doesn't revolve around you. Okay? All right. That came from Peggy. That's before she went out on the field. Okay? Now, how does that apply to the sun? Yes! Everything! Entirely everything revolves around the sun. Oh, listen how great he is. So we have that where in the sun, and we had some real good thoughts about it. And when we walk in the light. Pardon?
Nothing wrong with your memory.
No. Well, on things like that, you know, you can remember. Yeah, okay. And when we walk in the light, that's what it says. If we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and the truth is not in us. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And so it's important for the light that gives life and light. So the sun is a very important thing about his character. So that's what I noticed from that verse. And then I was going to talk a little bit about the different churches. And you know that there's seven churches, but we're not going to get in very far in that. But I just want to mention the first one about Ephesus, and that's in chapter 2, okay? I have several thoughts on this, but we'll take just a thought, okay? And We find in this church that there's departure because why? You've got to speak louder for me. Yes, or they lost their first love, right? They left it. And that is true about the church of Ephesus. And then, so we find they left their first love, and so therefore we find the Lord is outside of their heart. Now, when you get to the last church, which is Laodicea, where is the Lord? It's a well-known verse. You know it. The last chapter 3. Yes, so he's outside. He's outside the, you just said it. The door, right, good. In the first church, he's outside of the heart. By the time you get to Laodicea, he's outside the door, and there he's knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Now, I've always liked that verse where it says, behold, I stand. He's a patient Savior because he's standing right there patiently. It's written to believers. It's to the church. But notice the next thing about him. He is a Savior that's not only patient, but he's a Savior doing what? Starting with a P? What is persistent, thank you, because he keeps knocking. He's knocking at your door. And then the next thing it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, what kind of a Savior is he now? A pleading Savior. Very good. I gave you this outline some time ago, so I'm glad you know that. Good. He's a pleading Savior. If any man, if any woman, if any boy, if any girl. And then it says that I will come in. So what kind of a Savior is he? A promising Savior. I will come in and will sup with you. So what kind of a Savior do we find? But a providing Savior in the end. He'll take all that we have, yes, that he's given to and provide for us. So I want you to notice here that God speaks well of this church. In the fact, he points out their good points before he talks about their bad points, which is a great thing for us to do when we try to talk to somebody, is bring out the good points. And what did they have? What are the three things that they had in this church? Chapter 2.
Works.
They had a work. What's the second thing? In chapter 2, they had labor. You know there's a big difference between working and laboring, okay? And what was the third thing? And they had patience. Now, if we compare this church with the church of Thessalonians, okay, or Thessalonica, and let's go over there to Thessalonica in chapter 1 there, and what are the three things that are missing? Okay, what's the first one that's missing? We're going to go down to about verse 3, I think. Chapter 1, verse 3. What's the first thing missing? Pardon? I can't hear you. What did the Thessalonians have? They had work, but they had what? What's missing? In Revelation, what is it? It's faith. They had work, but they had a work of faith. Oh, but then we find, too, that they had labor, but what's missing? In love. And they also had patience, but what's missing? Hope. Oh, you see, in Ephesus, they had the work, they had the labor, they had the patience, but they were missing the faith, the love, and the hope. And Well, we could go on, but it's now 1:30, so it's time for me to quit. Thank you very kindly, you two, for entering in, okay? And I'm going to ask Don if you'll just close in a word of prayer. Don Palmer.